Well, today we are in John chapter 21. If you want to turn there with me. John chapter 21, verses 1 through 17. John 21, 1 through 17, it says this. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "Well, we'll go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they didn't catch anything. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, do you?" They answered him, "No." So he said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, not awkward, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you've just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now, none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for your word. It is powerful. And throughout your word is your name, that power that can break every chain. We feel that in your word this morning. God, there is a deep mystery here. We know that in the original language of the New Testament, this book is actually the easiest to read of all the letters. It's so easily written. But God, it is deep. It is so deep, Lord. Give us the wisdom to unravel this mystery today. Open up our eyes and our hearts this morning to internalize this word, to find ourselves with a renewed vision for 2017, to find ourselves with a renewed passion for this year, and to have a changed thinking, a true repentance, that our lives will be different from here on out. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, what do you think Peter's New Year's resolution would have been? I mean, we know that first century Israelites didn't celebrate New Year's. But if you just were to play along with me, what do you think it would have been? I mean, I know we have some of the obvious things, especially when we think about Peter. I mean, even in this image, he's not very happy there because we all know what he's done. Peter is famously known for his threefold rejection of Jesus. But seriously, what would it have been? Would it have been maybe to go back and redo all the times that he had doubted Jesus? I mean, this is the same Peter who hopped out of a boat to walk on water up to Jesus. But what happens? He sees the storm and he freaks out, maybe doubted, and he starts to sink. Would it be to do that one over again? Where he says, you know what, I'm just going to keep my eyes solely fixed on Jesus because I know the waves are going to be there this time. And I'll do so much better. Or maybe there was that time where, wasn't it Peter who, when Jesus was being arrested, he cut off a guard's ear with a sword? And Jesus rebukes him. Put away your sword. We don't live our lives that way, by the sword. Would he have regretted that enough to want to redo that moment? What was it that he would redo? You know, I can remember some do-overs in my life that I strongly wanted. Here's a quick example for you. In middle school, I was in JROTC, a leadership program leading into ROTC in high school to maybe pursue a career in the military. And we had our PE day, you know, our physical education day, and we played this game that was called Running Man. Now, Running Man is really special because it's like a hybrid of dodgeball, a more a hyperactive round of dodgeball. There's no boundaries. When you get the ball, you get to chase the kids around, but you're only allowed 6 steps before you can launch the ball at somebody, you know. And so we're there on this tennis court, so we're kind of fenced in. So, you know, the ball comes rolling up to me magically, and I pick it up. And the only person in my line of sight after 6 steps is my instructor, Captain Traeger, who's now Major Traeger. I mean, his name alone is scary. He's a big guy, like 6'4", just, you know, loaded with muscles. And he's not the guy you really want to throw the ball at. But he was the only one, so I just went for it without thinking. You know, I wound up my arm, my muscles were flexed, and I launched the ball at him as hard as I could. And he puts his hands out to catch it, and it hits his fingers and bounces off. Next thing I know, he's on the ground crying. The game has stopped. It's completely silent. And the only thing the instructor is crying out is, oh, my finger's broken, my finger's broken. I was dripping sweat, you know. Oh, God, what am I going to do now? And so I won't tell you the ending of that story. But there is that moment where I would have liked to do over. But there are more serious moments, you know, that we all share in particular, moments of regret where we've made a mistake, where we've hurt someone. And even if you're like me and you've gone back to those moments and asked for forgiveness and, you know, paid your dues in those situations, you can't take back those moments, right? You can renew them, you can restore them, but the memory is always there. And, you know, sometimes it hurts because it's like I created a moment for someone else where I hurt them. And I never get to take that moment back, no matter what. So those are some times where I've wanted some do-overs. But this is the most special, typical time for all of us as Americans for do-overs, right? This is a very special day for us. It is January 1st, 2017. Someone was telling me in first service, he said, when I was young, I never, ever thought 2000 would be here. So we're long past 2000 now, and we still have our electricity. The 2K bug didn't, like, wipe out the United States like we all thought. So here we are in 2017. And 2017 is the time to do some things over. So listen to this. This is from the Statistic Brain Research Institute, where they took some of the most common attempted New Year's resolutions, and these are ranked in order. So I'll give you just 5 of them. The first one is, you can probably guess, lose weight. Number 2, get organized. Number three, spend less and save more. Number four, it's just too vague, enjoy life to the fullest. That might be the same year they might want to write their will, you know, because that seems a little far-fetched. Number five, staying fit and healthy. Now, although when I think about these are all beneficial goals, there's this harsh reality that I think every American knows here in the United States, and that is these New Year's resolutions are hardly ever achieved. As a matter of fact, according to the Brain Research Institute, only 8% of New Year's resolutions are actually achieved. 8%. So I think, you know, what happens then is these resolutions become cyclical. Year in, year out, we throw them into a lottery and they kind of revamp around January time. And so we might try them again over and over and over. And I was thinking, we really shouldn't call these new resolutions, but maybe a new year to try what we've always been trying to do all along, because that's what we're doing. It's kind of like this man I was reading about who stood up in the middle of a bar last night, raised up his glass, and said, "May all your troubles last as long as your New Year's resolutions for 2017. You know, I think that this statistic says a lot about life, though. It really got me thinking. Stats like these seem to suggest that us as Americans, we're not so good at accomplishing goals. Or that we're not good at getting where we want to be. We fail a lot, and we keep trying over and over just to fail again. That's what the stat is saying to me. And so I thought, is this the only way to look at life? To where really it's kind of like an ecclesiastical story, isn't it? We'll try just to fail and fail again, and we're chasing the wind. So I was thinking, there's got to be a better way to view our lives. And so there's a philosopher he's kind of a wild card sometimes, but I love this quote by him. His name is Ralph Waldo Emerson, who said that life is a journey, not a destination. Life is a journey, not a destination. I started, you know, thinking about that for our Christian lives, and I'm thinking, until I am fully renewed, I mean, face to face with Jesus, I am constantly growing, learning, and maturing until I see Him. One pastor, when talking about marriage, he compared marriage to being a journey. And he said it's like two sculptors who are chiseling away at each other, hopefully for the better, and until one day at the resurrection, they look at each other fully renewed in these glorious bodies, and the two spouses look at each other and say, "Wow, this is how I've always imagined you." I mean, isn't that a beautiful picture? And you know, I want to see life that way. Galatians 6:10, Paul says, "Take every single opportunity and make it useful. Do good to all people all the time." I mean, I want to consider every moment to be a chip off the old block as a sculptor, taking advantage of every single opportunity. And so I think that there's something deep going on in John's gospel here where there's this unique conversation between Jesus and Peter, and I think that it can help us see life in a different light instead of constant defeat. So a little bit of the story behind the Gospel of John concerning Peter. Peter tells Jesus earlier on that he would never, ever forsake Jesus. He said, "No way, not me." And then during one cold night, we find Peter denying Jesus three times. And after this event, Peter feels terrible. He's probably thinking that he's partially responsible for Jesus' punishment. He's probably recalling the times that he told Jesus he would never forsake him. That's what Luke's gospel says. He denied Jesus three times. Jesus looked at him. And then it says Peter was reminded of when he told Jesus he would never forsake him. And then the crucifixion happens. And I put my money on Peter having some pretty shameful memories and regrets then. I mean, I think it's significant that just as Peter had denied Jesus three times, John 21 tells us that Jesus appeared to his disciples how many times? Three times. So could you imagine what Peter might have been feeling at each appearance? I mean, that's stressful. It wasn't just one appearance where you're like, oh my gosh, this was all true all along. I can't believe it. It happened three times. That's like face melting. In all the coulda, shoulda, wouldas, I imagine if I were Peter, that's what would have been happening. You know, not dying for Jesus like you said he would, doubting him, all the reminders of shame. But as you keep reading the Gospel of John, chapter 21, the story takes an unusual twist. So for me reading this, I was completely confused at this chapter because when the disciples are fishing on a boat after Jesus' resurrection, they see Jesus for the third time. Peter doesn't try to hide, you know, because of his past failures and his rejection of Jesus. That's what I was expecting. But instead, Peter jumps out of the boat. Okay, and this is important. Where is Peter swimming when he jumps out of the boat? Did he go under the boat and like gasping for air? He's trying to hide. He didn't swim. It doesn't say Peter jumped out of the boat swimming to the horizon and the disciples never saw him again. He hopped out of the boat and he didn't swim away from. He swam to Jesus. Wow, did you see that spit fly? Sorry, I got excited. He swims to Jesus, and then the disciples follow along in their boat. And as a side note, I'm always curious, you know, what is up with Peter specifically in this whole jumping out of boats business? Because he jumps out of the boat, you know, to walk on water towards Jesus, and then here he is jumping out of the boat again. And I think like the closest thing I can even think of is it reminds me of Forrest Gump always jumping out of a boat like Peter. But the point is, Peter is swimming towards Jesus. Then Jesus and Peter have this conversation. And once again, if Peter would have betrayed anyone else other than Jesus, been talking to anyone else other than Jesus, you would have expected the opening line of the conversation to be something like, Peter, how could you have done this to me? Or, you're sitting around this fire and says, Peter, I know this conversation is really awkward. You could cut the tension with a knife. But I have to ask you, how dare you do such a thing to me? I mean, that's what I'm expecting in the conversation. That's what I'm pretty sure anyone else would have done. Hey, man, you left me hanging back there. What was up with that? But Jesus doesn't do any of those things. Instead, there's this unique Q&A, this question and answering between Jesus and Peter, where Jesus asks the famous question, do you love me? Do you love me? Now, this is the next twist in the story, because Jesus' question could have so many different implications, depending on how each of us are reading it and interpreting it. And it could have meant, Peter, since you left me hanging, do you even love me? But the context of the passage doesn't support that because, one, when Peter jumps out of the boat, he is swimming to Jesus ahead of the rest of the disciples to see him. And who does that if they don't love the Lord? Secondly, Peter's response to Jesus' question over and over, do you love me, is, Lord, you know. That I love you. So Peter's assuming that Jesus knows that Peter loves him beyond a shadow of a doubt. So what's going on? I think the most important point is Jesus' response to Peter, to Peter's response actually. Go feed my lambs. I think this is the typical rabbinical conversations you would have in that day. It's kind of like a say it and obey it type of interaction with one another. In other words, Jesus' question and response to Peter, it's not meant to be a condemning statement. It's meant to be a call to obedience. So we might translate it like this. Peter, if you love me, Here's what it looks like to be my follower. Go feed my lambs. Or, Peter, since you love me, go feed my lambs. And I started to think this whole feed my lambs business, this phrase, has really reshaped life as a journey for me, especially going into 2017. I mean, this is day one, where maybe life isn't about constantly trying to meet destinations and failing over and over. Maybe there's a different way. Now, first of all, I want to be just extremely clear that I think that Jesus' question in response to Peter is not a chance for Peter to start over. It's not. Nowhere in this interaction is it talking about Peter starting over. Jesus doesn't throw his arm around Peter and say, "Hey, bud, let's forgive and forget." He doesn't say that. And this kind of makes me think of like what Pastor Joe had been mentioning before, that repentance is not forgetting. You know, we know the Greek meaning of repentance is just to completely turn and go in the opposite direction. But it doesn't mean to forget. Repentance and forgiveness is being liberated to keep going, to move forward. It's actually embracing your mistakes and your past and making it your testimony. You know, I'm thinking, there's only one new beginning I've ever had, and that was when I became a new creation in Jesus, the day I put my faith in Him. Everything else is a journey. I mean, when I'm reading Revelation, it's just the new heavens, the new Jerusalem is coming down. He's going to renew all things. So I am new, and everything else is a journey. So, here's what I think about this conversation between Jesus and Peter. Jesus' question and his response to Peter is an opportunity for Peter to reaffirm his love and position in Christ. You know, Peter was originally a fisherman. It's not in John's gospel, but in the other gospels where Peter is there, he's found fishing when Jesus calls him. He's in the fishing business, and he leaves the fishing business to go be a disciple and a follower of Jesus Christ. And so, isn't it ironic how after Jesus has died and has risen, where do we find Peter in John 21? He's fishing again. What do you do when, I mean, the ultimate hope you had is lost and you had your job, you left it, you go back to your old job. He's just going to go back to fishing. But Jesus' question, "Do you love me?" and his response, "Go feed my lambs," was the affirmation that, "Peter, if you love me, you cannot move backwards into fishing for fish. This Jesus life does not stop. We're always moving forward. You've been called to fish for people." There was no starting over. There was only continuing. There was only a journey. So this Jesus life does not move backwards. It might feel like it sometimes. Absolutely. But it's actually all a journey. It's that chiseling until we're all completely renewed. So how does this Jesus life challenge us in today's world? I mean, 2017, we've got new goals, renewed visions. Well, the first thing I think is that our world craves do-overs. Man, they want to start over. I mean, I got a case of the Mondays because, Mondays are always just a fail. Can't wait to try again tomorrow. Or, man, I had such a bad experience down in Texas that I'm going to leave my past there and move to a new state and start over. But, hey, we don't leave our brains in Texas. Our memories are still with us. Our past is still with us. So this conversation between Jesus and Peter, I think it only strengthens Peter's faith because it did something inside of him to not live in a world of regret that he could have. And he definitely did immediately after Jesus was killed. But it reinvigorated Peter so much so that he continued on this journey because Jesus tells Peter immediately after that little interaction, Peter, one day someone's going to take their belt off and tie it around your hands and you're going to be carried away to a place you don't want to go. But Peter was ready now because the story goes that Peter actually did become a martyr for Jesus and he was crucified upside down in order to honor Jesus and not be crucified as Jesus was. And Jesus and Peter told Jesus earlier on in the Gospel of John, I'm going to give my life for you, Lord. I would do it. And Peter did end up doing it. So his life never started over. He kept going. And you know, most of us have some broken past and some failures in our lives. But those failures don't have to be the things that we run from or try to avoid. You know, they don't have to be haunting reappearances like I figured maybe Jesus' appearance might have been to Peter. Those are our stories to embrace and to not escape. And they have the power to become our testimonies in Christ. You know, today is not the day, January 1st, 2017, for starting over. But perhaps today's the day on your journey where the Lord is really speaking to you, where it's time to confront things and embrace things that you always wanted to in the past. Don, would you like to come up and play piano for us? Thank you. So in closing, I want to present two ideas to you. That maybe you're on the Peter, do you love me side of the fence. So maybe you have these failures that you'd like to embrace instead of run from. Maybe there are people that you need to forgive in order to move forward. Maybe there are people you need forgiveness from in order to move forward. You know, maybe you need to reaffirm your love and your position in God when you hear Him asking, do you love me? And maybe you're on the other side of the response where instead of Jesus asking, do you love me? Maybe you hear Jesus saying to Peter, go feed my lambs. And on the obedient side of go feed my lambs, maybe there's something you've had in your mind where you've wanted to move forward in this life in Christ, but you never have. You know that there's something you should be doing ministry-wise, but you haven't. There's a type of person you've always wanted to be, but never became that person for whatever reason. Maybe He's calling you. Go feed my lambs. And maybe today is the day to obediently respond to that. So we've already taken communion. We'll have the altars open. Some of us will be up here to pray with you. But we'll close in prayer. And then we're here for you to think about this. How do you respond to those questions in this new day, January 1st, 2017? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your word and this unique message. There is a unique question and answering going on in John 21. I don't think that they're condemning questions. I think that they're affirming. I think that they're calling us to keep going in this journey, that there's no starting over. There's no going back to the fishing business. There's only moving forward as disciples in Christ for the sake of others. Life is a journey. Lord, and I pray that that is a freeing thought to us who might relive our failures and mistakes. That we're not stuck. We're constantly growing, constantly moving. We're going somewhere and we're being chiseled. We're being sculpted until that day we're face to face with you. We love you, Lord. Help us to reflect on this and see life in this light. We're on a journey. Let 2017 be that time where we step into this journey, either responding to, do you love me, or responding to feed my lambs, wherever we're at. Let Let this be the moment now, Lord, that we walk in that. We love you, God, and we trust you. Thank you for this new year. Everybody said, amen.